Welcome to The Pursuit of Wellness, a show about the journey of wellness. My name is Kabir Uppal and I'll be your host throughout this journey. I've been a fitness enthusiast for many years now. A few years ago, I co-founded FitNut, a platform where people find exciting and informative content on fitness, nutrition, and healthy living. I see being fit as an ongoing process, and I treat this as a journey for myself as well. By chatting with experts and enthusiasts in the space, I hope to learn a lot myself, and hopefully you guys will too. Check out our Facebook group, The Pursuit of Wellness, where we chat with guests and other enthusiasts about their journeys. You can also find us on Twitter at TPOW Podcast. All right, guys, before we jump in, I'd like to give a quick shout out to our sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Sproutbox, a premier co-working space in New Delhi. With no lock-ins and month-to-month flexibility, you can choose between shared desks and private workspaces that are designed to help you build your next big thing. We're actually recording out of our studio here in Sproutbox's Okhla location. Check out our show notes for more details. This is a Mancha Media production. So guys, in this episode, we chat with Nakul Butta. Nakul is the founder and principal motivator at All In Running, which is an engagement platform for runners and adventure sports enthusiasts. Through this platform, he coaches and motivates amateur and advanced level runners. He's won several long distance races and is a regular top finisher in races like the Mumbai Full Marathon and the Delhi Half Marathon. Over the past several years, Nakul has also been using running as a platform to raise funds for the causes of disability and education. In this episode, we chat with Nakul about how to get started as a runner, the community and wellness ecosystem in India, and how he gets the best out of people he trains. Let's jump right in. Hi, Nakul. Welcome to the show, man. How's it going?
Hi, thanks for having me. It's going good.
Awesome. So, welcome. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule for us. And, you know, we've given our audience a little bit of an intro on all the amazing things that you're involved in. But why don't you give our listeners a small brief about yourself from your own words as well?
No, again, thanks so much. I'm really excited to be here. And just a quick intro, just an average guy who did my engineering and all of that, and then did my corporate stint also. And recently, my friends motivated me to just get into sports because I was already into running and other sports. And for the last year and a half, I've been basically full-time runner as an athlete and also set up a venture around running, which includes coaching and events and getting into travel now. So yeah, that's a quick rundown of what I've been up to.
Awesome. And we'll get into some of those things a little bit more. But I wanted to kick this off by, I know you mentioned your friends pushed you into getting into this space, but tell me a little bit about how it feels to be a coach. You know, I know there's a lot of things that go into running a venture like that, but specifically from a coaching perspective, you know, working with amateurs, working with people that are starting out. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, as a runner, the community is such that you're always helping each other. So in some ways, everyone is coaching each other and motivating each other. So that's kind of beautiful about the running community. And obviously now it organically grew into a bigger focus for me and helping amateurs, as you said, from beginners to I'm working with people who can barely run 100 meters to people who've been running marathons for over 10 years, you know. So it's a whole range. And each individual and group has their own motivations. So yeah, as a coach, you just have to kind of understand what is required for that person and just kind of feed them that positive energy so that they just keep going.
Awesome. So, you know, as a coach, I think one of the biggest things, and as you said, you're working with a variety of people, you know, that are at different parts in their journey. In the pursuit of wellness, you know, on other episodes and in the future also, we want to always touch upon inspiration and motivation because, you know, throughout the journey, there will be times when you're up and down and it's you have to kind of keep the goals in mind. How do you motivate your, runners? How do you keep them on track, whether it's through injuries or, not being able to hit their goals? What are some aspects of that?
So one thing that I just want to say is I never call myself a coach. I always refer to my runners as a guide and a helper. Okay. I never use the word coach ever any time in my program, actually. I always call myself as just a helper or a guide. And the whole idea is that my program is set up such, unlike other coaching programs, is I let them discover their own journey. And that's why I call myself a guide. I'm just there to help them and guide them through that journey and prevent mistakes. But I literally let the individual drive that. So the motivation kind of comes from them. And I just give them a space and an environment where they feel empowered within themselves to kind of drive that journey forward, right? So for example, a lot of beginners have challenges of waking up in the morning, and running in India, unfortunately, because the climate and other factors, is mostly a morning activity. Thing, yeah. So how do you motivate a beginner to start, like, let's say, waking up in the morning, putting their shoes on, getting out? So you start talking about life schedules and time schedules and just give them the reasoning why morning running works, and just themselves, they try to understand through failures that maybe 1 week they're not able to wake up and they miss their runs, and then eventually they feel bad about it. And so again, it's being driven by their own interests rather than me yelling at them and saying, get up, get out. So my program is such that I want them to discover and try to figure out, because 1 year down the line, if they're not on the program, I still want them to be runners and influencers for other people in the community. So the whole idea is to kind of bring good out of them and the love for running, the love for fitness, love for their health, love for the environment. It all has to come through them.
Awesome. So it's you kind of help them create a structure as opposed to, you know, creating a strict, almost like a drill sergeant type. You're not really doing that. Yeah. You're helping them create their own structure, find their own path on this journey. So, you know, more about people starting out. You know, if for some of our listeners that have tuned in to, you know, get an idea of what the running community like is or how they can get started, what's a starting point? Like you said, there are some people that can barely run 100 meters. For our listeners that haven't run at all, but are interested because of friends, family, or whatever reason, what do you think is a good starting point?
Yeah, so the number one thing is you got to be conscious of where you are. If, for example, you're not happy with your health, or your work is getting overloaded and other things are getting compromised. So step number one is to basically convince yourself to get active, right? And get moving, right? Which normally happens around the New Year time because everything is positive and all of that.
Yeah.
So similar kind of energy, but without the New Year pressure, right? So get that first into you. And then the first thing is to just, again, start going out. Go out for walks. Start seeing what people are doing. Get in touch with people who are active. That's always a good positive motivation, you know. And then really set yourself a very challenging goal. I think that's really where it starts. If someone picks up and can't even run for 2 minutes and says, I want to do a 10K, that's a challenging goal.
Yeah.
And the idea is when you put yourself through a challenging goal and you're really motivated that I will do this, you will find a way to do it, right? And that's anything in life. Forget running. So the idea is to just set up a solid goal and just get going, right? And then obviously you have to be cautious. Running is a very impact-based, like there's a lot of impact happening. So you got to be cautious. Start slow. You got to take it really slow. So for beginners, for example, there's always a walk run. So they're like, can we do 2K out of the box? No. Like for probably 8 weeks, I don't allow my runners to run nonstop.
Oh, wow.
So they're walking. The majority of it is walking and a little bit of jogging in the middle. So there's a very slow evolution, because if you've been inactive for years and years, you need to give the body time at least a few weeks or months to get active again, right?
Yeah, that would be a shock for the body as
exactly.
well if they came
so
out.
So like in any sport, you got to give it time. And unfortunately, what happens typically in running is people just get out because it's so easy to do. You put your shoes and you start moving. And in 2 to 3 weeks, they start hurting. And that's not because of running. That's because we went in too quickly.
Too quickly, yeah. Awesome. So a little bit more about, starting points beyond, you know, the setting of the goal, taking baby steps, part of those steps, you know, what would you recommend in a place like India? What is a good time? You obviously mentioned that, you know, given our climate here, obviously we have to get out early in the morning so that the climate doesn't affect the run. But what's a good surface to run for beginners?
Every surface is good for beginners, because the challenge for beginners is to get out and get moving, right? Once you get moving, that's the key, right? And eventually what we're looking for is a endurance cardiovascular activity, which is running is one of them, mm-hmm. right? So the idea is to keep your heart pumping for over 20 to 25 minutes. That's the goal. So you could be walking, but not the typical Indian walking, morning walk or evening walk kind of
strolling.
Walking. It should be brisk walking,
yeah.
Right? When your heart is pumping and you feel like you're doing a workout, right? That's the start. And then obviously, look, if you have access to a soft track, which like gravel or soft sand, that is obviously nicer on the body. But in general, you may not have access, right? Infrastructure is still developing in our country. So you may just have roads or paved paths. So the idea is just go out and just do it. Make sure your gear is okay. And we'll maybe touch about that later. But yeah, just first thing, decide to start moving and just find a local place where you're comfortable with and try to just do that first.
So those are some great points about, you know, how to get into running as a beginner. Moving on to the goal-based system, right? When you've kind of started running already, and as you said, maybe you set the challenging goal. How can one as a runner then set up, you know, short-term goals and long-term goals for the future as a runner?
So yeah, so what I meant to say earlier was that when you set up an aggressive goal, you need to set up a realistic goal also. So you can't run a 10K in 3 weeks. You got to give enough time to set up and give the body time to get to that 10K. But you got to divide that goal into like what I call mini goals. So let's say if you have a 12-week 10K training program, you're setting up a 5K probably 6 to 7 weeks. So that's your goal number one, is get to the 5K mark. Once you get to the 5K mark, then you can evaluate how your progression is going and say, is this 10K realistic in, let's say, another 5 weeks, or do I need another 10 weeks? So you got to set mini goals. And within that, let's say, two or three big goals that you have in your journey, we set up even further, like 1 to 3 week long, what I call mesocycles. And in those mesocycles, you decide, okay, in this mesocycle for these 3 weeks, this is our goal. Let's say for a beginner, it could be starting from a run 1 minute, walk 4 minutes, to a run 4 minutes, walk 1 minute, you know, and then eventually coming to nonstop running. So there's a slow progression week on week. And so there are mini goals, pretty much based on 1 to 3 week kind of cycles. And then there are macro goals, which are like 8 weeks, 12 weeks, 16 weeks, depending on what your goal is.
Awesome. So how does one keep in mind like the kind of mileage they need to hit a week? I know that is kind of applicable to more, you know, serious runners and people with a little bit of more experience. But tell us a little bit about the different factors that you as a guide consider for the runners that you're working with in terms of what they need to hit in terms of mesocycles or the mini goals. And yeah, what are those different factors that you consider?
And that's really critical when it comes to any endurance sports, let's say running in this particular case. A lot of people, as I said earlier, just go out of the box and start running without knowing much about running or the running form or just the technical aspects of, let's say, a shoe. There's so many technical things that go about running pace and all of that. And the idea is whenever you get into a sport, you got to read and learn. Either through, you can interact with peers who are running or read online or find stuff on YouTube or whatever. But if you, let's say, take another analogy of a sport, let's say tennis, you're not going to pick up a racket and start smashing the ball. You're probably going to learn the proper technique of a forehand, a backhand, a service, a volley, and then you really start playing the game properly, right? Same goes with running. You got to understand what running form is, how your shoulders should be, where your feet should be landing, what your cadence should be, what your pace should be. There's a lot of this technical stuff, and this comes with time, but there's enough information out there and to kind of learn about these things. So it's very important to take things slow, but also read a little bit so that you don't make the basic errors, you know.
So you mentioned that running is an endurance activity. How would you peg that against other forms of exercise and workouts? Like, how can one think that running is more beneficial versus playing a sport for me or going to the gym for me?
Yeah, actually, that's a discussion I have very often now because I used to be a gym boy for probably 12 years of my life. I used to always play sports in school. I was a captain of my college team. So I was always into sports, recreationally or through university or school. But For a very long time of my life, I was spending probably 5 to 6 days a week in the gym also, you know. And now for the last decade almost, I've been running initially just for fun and now more seriously. And I am convinced, and this is going to be probably a shock to most of your listeners, I really feel a cardiovascular endurance activity, be it running, and I'm talking distance running, which something that you're doing over 30 minutes. So it could be endurance cycling, where again, you're cycling over 30 minutes, or swimming, anything that's really pumping your heart, could be mountaineering, power hiking, really far exceeds the benefits of any other activity that most people around the world are doing, in my opinion. The gym industry has become massive. And I really think even the CrossFit and all of that, while they are critical in terms of overall fitness, they have become primary drivers of fitness, which is what I disagree with now. I am very vocal about picking up a cardiovascular activity, number one, to get your fitness in check, and then complementing that with good health, with strength training, with proper exercise and stretching. So there's a lot of stuff that piles up on top of a cardiovascular activity. But I am convinced that running, because it's the easiest cardiovascular activity, you don't need much gear for it. You don't need access to a pool. So running is the easiest thing, which is why it's growing the quickest.
Yeah.
But I'm really convinced that you need something like that to be a fit person. And I feel probably, okay, I'm a little weaker than what I used to be when I used to go to the gym. But in terms of fitness levels and how alive I feel, I think what running has given me the last 20 years of my life, I never experienced that.
Great, great, great. I think, yeah, that will come to come as a shock to some of our listeners. But more about that, just could you name some specific things that you feel like as somebody who runs and running as a cardiovascular exercise, how does that affect one's body? As you mentioned that, you know, more than 30 minutes of cardiovascular exercise, how does that, you know, actually affect the body and the different organs and your overall health?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you are doing an activity for an extended periods of time, there are multiple benefits that you come across. One is the physical, which I think what you're kind of referring to. But when you're also doing something for a certain amount of time, let's say 30 or 40 or 10 hours of running, some people ultra marathons, yeah, that's why people are getting into ultra marathons. They're just moving for 10 hours. There's a huge mental aspect that comes to it. But I'll address the physical first, right? If you're moving or you're doing an activity for so long, your full body or muscle engagement is happening. You're burning fuel properly, which means you'll consume fuel also properly. So there's a good balance of what's happening. So just overall, from a physical perspective, if there's an exertion happening, you're building capacity, right? And at the end, if you go to the gym, if you're trying to lift heavier weights or whatever we're trying to do in CrossFit or any other sport, we're always trying to build capacity. Let's say even in tennis, we're just trying to play the game better, right? Or any other sport, right? So we're always trying to improve and build capacity. Whereas an endurance sport helps build that capacity, but it also has far-reaching impact on, let's say, health and just overall sense of being fitter, you know? But then I'll also come to the mental aspect of endurance sports, which I think really is what holds people back to it, is because endurance sports can be very frustrating from an injury perspective because you're doing so much of it, your body takes a lot of beating. But why people keep coming back is, I think, the mental aspect, especially the long distance runners. And there's really a kind of a zen state that you get into, especially after like two and a half hours of running. And it's really beautiful. There's nothing like that any other sport really gets you. Every sport, basketball, tennis, table tennis, cricket, there are always breaks and you have times to rest your mind. Whereas in this, you're on it, you know. And the same thing, you can kind of, you'll have mountaineers talk about it. You'll have anyone who's been doing an activity for hours and hours talk about this state of mind that one gets into, of pushing the mind, pushing the body when everything is not working, somehow finding a way. And I think that's really the beauty of why running and long distance running is really being taking on the world, you know. So
great, thanks for that. I think those are some great things for beginners to keep in mind. And I love the aspect of Zen, the aspect of, you know, being, I think a lot of people that I know that love running, it's also about that commitment to doing something every day, to be doing something for an hour, hour and a half. And again, working towards that progress, getting better with your time, with your speed, all of that. A little bit more about, you know, the Zen aspect of it and while you're running. Do you think it's recommended to listen to music while running, or is it nice to be kind of within your thoughts and thinking, staying focused on hitting the time or, you know, hitting the kind of strides you need to?
I think for a beginner especially, a good balance is important. So let's say if you are not getting the motivation to run, use music to get that initial motivation. But typically, let's say for a lot of my beginner runners who have that, they have a challenge running without music, I say, okay, in a week, just run once without music and just try to focus in with your breathing, with your running rhythm, you know, with your strides. So there's a balance. And then eventually when they get into the running thing, I know many runners, like for instance, I rarely use music. Unless in a race, I'm really having a bad race or something, I'll put it on just to kind of get that extra boost. But I mean, that's 0.1% of my running. So I know a lot of long distance runners who don't use music eventually. But I think for beginners and people who are just getting into activity, I think if music gives them that motivation, go for it.
Absolutely. Know? Cool, cool. So going back to a little bit about what you mentioned about fuel and, you know, strength training as something that complements your running. Tell us a little bit about the role of diet, stretching, and other workouts to actually improve your skills as a runner.
Yeah, and that's a very big focus of my program is also. One is to drive all the activity that I mentioned from the individual. The passion to run comes from the individual, but that's where I come in as a guide, is to kind of explain to them that it's not just about going out and running. Typically, your physiotherapy or your stretching exercises, they are about 30 to 40% of your week's running time, which is a lot.
Yeah.
Mostly people do 5 minutes of stretching or pre and maybe post. And the stretches also that they are doing are not really relevant to running, you know, or actually helping their body open up. So focusing on the right exercises, pre, not so much pre, but mostly post-run, is critical. And to spend 40% of your total week's runtime is something that no one does. And that's one of the focuses of the program, is to really focus on post-run stretch workout, or what we call post-run physio. And for that, we work with sports injury specialists who give body-specific physio to each runner. So every runner on the program has a totally different post-run routine. So it's a very personalized thing, and you have to work with a sports injury specialist to get what your body requires. So there's this physio stretching routine that every runner has to do after a run. That's critical. You cannot run without physio. You will get injured if you run without physio. Okay. Then there is obviously the strength training component that you touched on. That is also critical. Minimum 2 times a week, minimum, where you are doing just simple exercise. You don't need a gym membership. All you need is just an open space, 5 by 5 feet. You do some basic 3 to 4 sets of squats, lunges, calf raises, push-ups, tricep dips, simple 5 or 6 basic exercises that everyone knows, or if you don't know them, just
easy
pull them up
them
on YouTube and just do them. It'll take you 15 to 20 minutes. It's very simple. Get your technique right. And so you do that twice a week. You do your physio, you do your running, and then obviously fueling. That's the last thing that kind of makes it the whole thing, is you got to look at your diet. If you've been overweight or you've been having trouble keeping a good weight on, then you got to just cut back, be conscious. But sometimes it's okay initially to not get so stressed about diet, because there's so much new you can take on at one time. So for a lot of my beginners, I tell them, start running, number one, and make sure you do your physio. That's the first step to get them on. Then we start working on strength, try building that on so that In 2 to 3 weeks, they start getting strength into the regime because I don't want to overload them with all this information at one go. So the idea, start slow. And this is to all your listeners also. Start moving, run and do your physio, number one. That's how you start, right? Then start focusing, okay, now I feel I need to do some strength training. Add that in 3 to 4 weeks to your regime. And then start looking at your nutrition, what you're eating. And the beauty of endurance sports is because you're running out for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, people become conscious. And I've seen over time, I don't have to mention nutrition to a lot of my runners. They themselves become conscious and they are making the right decisions. I know 2 or 3 of my runners who become vegetarian just out of their own decisions. And that has helped them lose weight or just make them feel better. What I'm saying is all these things come with time, but you got to start.
Awesome. So you touched upon, you know, the importance of physio. And you also mentioned that, you know, in a sport like running, your body does take a significant amount of beating. What is the best way for, runners to deal with injuries? And what are the most common injuries you see in some of your runners?
Yeah, so just before I kind of want to back up and say everyone has muscle imbalances. So it could be my right side is stronger than the left side. And this happens because of the lifestyle we live. We sit on a chair. We are not very active. So there is an imbalance that is caused in our body. So it's natural for even athletes. The fittest, Usain Bolt also has muscle imbalances. And every individual has muscle imbalances. So the idea is to, when we're getting into any activity, any sport, be it running or any other sport, the idea is to, while we're growing into that activity, we need to address these muscle imbalances. And by addressing them, we can minimize the risk of injuries. Now, we can never eliminate injuries, but we can always try to minimize the risk. To do that, you have to meet a medical practitioner, a sports injuries therapist, who specializes in that particular field. So in Delhi, there are a few people who specialize and understand runners particularly well. And so we go to them and we discuss them. They look at our body, they assess our body and say, okay, your left calf is stronger than the right calf. So we need to work on the right calf. And you get body specific physio exercises that will help counter that imbalance. And then it could be that the imbalance shifts to, if your right side was weaker, opposite it can side. Go to the other side. And this is a dynamic thing. But as an athlete, as an active person, that's part of the journey. And then also, I also want to mention that if you do get injured, don't be disheartened. Injury is actually a positive sign. It says that you've been pushing your body. And the body's natural response is to say, look, I don't want to do this. I'm going to get injured and take rest. But that's a good sign that you have been doing something that's beyond the comfort level. But also you should take corrective action. Once you take the right action, do the right exercises, do the right physiotherapy. And physiotherapy is like medicine. You got to do it morning, evening, the way doctor told you. There's no pill, but you have to spend time and do those exercises. And if you do them for 2 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever the doctor has told you, you will come out stronger than you were before the injury. You know, so for me, it's very important to keep people who are injured motivated, because, and to convince them they will come out stronger. And it's amazing once they've gone through that journey, once they've been injured and started running again, and then once they look back, they realize that they are much better off than they were. So injuries is not it's not a bad thing. It's just a speed bump, but after that the journey is smoother once you go through it. So yeah,
so it's very much part of the journey of, you know, the
absolutely
running.
I mean, I think I would, because I'm always pushing my own running as an athlete. If I'm not close to a point of injury, that means I'm not pushing hard enough. So it's always balancing act where we're pushing to the limit, but also trying to not get injured. Yeah. And sometimes you go over that boundary, but that's okay. That's part of pushing to the limit and discovering and setting yourself challenging goals is you are going to sometimes make mistakes.
Awesome. Thanks for that. It's great to hear that the injury bit is as important in the journey as the diet, as the training. And, you know, I love your point about you don't know you're pushing the limit till you're actually seeing that there's injuries happening. What are the most common injuries you feel you know, happen to runners? Besides, I know you mentioned that everybody's body is different, everybody has imbalances, but what are some of the most common injuries you've seen in at least runners based in India?
Well, there's always the runner's knee, which is the layman term, but your interior tibial band, which is on the outside of your knee, that's something that gets strained quite a lot. And that's actually when people have knee injuries, it's not the knee that's causing the problem. There are no muscles in the knee. You know, all the muscles are above or below the knee. So it's tightness in the adjacent muscle systems that cause issues. And the IT band, for example, is connected with the hamstring and the calf and all of that. But the basic point is it's going through the knee from the top to the bottom. And when, let's say, your hamstring is tight or the top of your leg is tight, what is happening is the IT band is rubbing against the knee bone and it gets swelling.
Getting ruptured.
It just swells up and that's what causes the pain. So it's not actually the tightness of the IT band, it's the hamstring that's causing it. So this is a very common, hamstring tightness is probably one of the most common things we have, and that causes a lot of IT things. Then obviously our butt muscles, our glutes are not strong enough because we sit for so many hours. Yeah. So typically, I highly recommend everyone who's going to office or has a life on in front of a computer to get up every 45 minutes and just stretch their back, just walk 2 minutes and get back down. It doesn't take more time, but it has massive benefits. So again, our glute muscles become weak because we're sitting for so long. These are generally what causes the injuries. So hamstrings, glutes, calf tightness, they cause and they result in knee pain. They could result in ankle. Then there's also the plantar fasciitis, which is the bottom of your feet start hurting. And that's because, again, your feet are being put a lot of. So plantar fasciitis, ITB syndrome, these are the typical hurt pain points for runners a lot. And I mean, I also go through them, but again, you work through these injuries and you don't lose sight of your goal.
Awesome. So a lot of it could be, you know, strength training related, or it could be that people aren't stretching properly. And, you know, again, lack of activity, as you mentioned.
Yeah, strength training comes as So the way I prioritize for my runners is running. You have to get out and run, number one, because that's what you want to do. Number two comes your physiotherapy and your stretching, which is your body specific, gotten from a medical practitioner. So that's number two. And then comes strength. I'm not saying they're not important, but if I had to give them an order, that's the order I would give them, is do run, then do your physio. So open up your body, because after your runs, your body's going to tighten up, because that's your muscles' natural reaction, is to get back into shape. And we want to keep them loose. And so open up your body and then add strength, because at some point, if your muscles are too weak, that will also cause an injury, which is why you need that strength component. So while I'm rating it as number three, if eventually you don't do it, you will also get injured.
Great, great. Very, very valuable information, I think, for some of our runners, listeners there that are trying to become runners and dealing with, you know, the progress or the journey of their running. Coming more to, you know, your journey in the running space, what excites you most about, you know, your experience in the Indian running ecosystem? And, you know, tell us a little bit about, you know, in the start you had mentioned that it's a very helpful community, and it's a very, you know, community that kind of encourages each other, gives each other advice, and, you know, helps pick each other up. What excites you most about the communities in India currently? And what do you think is the most important impact of these communities for new runners, for, you know, runners that have been running for a long time as well?
Yeah, what excites me the most is that Indians are moving again, which as a culture and society, we don't have that. We have a culture of cricket and all these dormant sports that are more popular. And thanks to certain initiatives like the Bombay Marathon and the Delhi Marathon and other race running and living events, you know, these are the guys who started running events 10 to 12 years back. And really, that's started the momentum of picking up running. People were running before that, but it wasn't a mass movement. And now you see running really taking main stage in the activities of people. And it's really beautiful to see. So it's very good to see that Indians are starting to move. But not only just in India, you see running growing exponentially around the world. Because people have been living more and more inactive lives, so people are now starting to get out, experience the outdoors, which to me is very beautiful. And so overall trends are really positive in our country and around the world. But obviously, we have a long way to go. I mean, we're talking a very small population, but it is a start, but it's still very small. And ideally, I'd like every person to be involved in a cardiovascular activity at least 3 times a week. That would make people feel really good about themselves and also take care of the world better, I feel. But coming back to the Indian scene, it's growing. But also because it's growing, there are a couple of good and bad aspects of it. There is the community social aspect that really encourages each other. But obviously the negative is the peer pressure and comparing each other and seeing someone else's performance and trying to match that when your body is not ready. So there's good and bad. There should be good guidance given by your peers. But I think there should be no competition. And because running at the end is an individual sport. It's your body, your capacity, and your journey. You cannot come on and try to match someone else's journey. So you got to give it time and just drive your own journey. Sure, use the motivation that you need. So there's good and bad. So there's a lot of good happening that people are getting out and moving. The only bad is sometimes people are getting in too quickly and making the mistakes and getting injured and then saying running is not good for my knees or all these myths that are around running, you know. And yeah, like what I tell people, let's say, who are starting to run is follow a plan. There are enough websites out there, halhigdon.com, and there are so many apps out there who give free training plans. Just get on a plan, get on a structure. Just like you would approach any other sport, use a structured approach. Don't just put on shoes and say, I'm going to go out for my first day and want to do 5 kilometers. You know, you will get injured. You just start with one, start with two.
Yeah.
But use a structured plan. And that's what I do basically is help people give a structure to where they want to go. And that's very key. If anyone wants to pick up running, they need a plan. And there's enough out there. Otherwise, there are enough people, professionals out there like me who are willing to help out. So get in touch with people if you're really serious. Just the way you have a resolution to be fitter, you join a gym membership, you use personal training to get guidance. Yeah. Same thing. If you want to pick up running or an endurance activity, get some guidance, you know, don't just start and get some guidance from someone who knows what they're doing.
Awesome. So actually, that's what I wanted to get into next with you. In terms of the best 3 takeaways, if you had to give our listeners right now, you know, you mentioned structure, you mentioned having somebody to guide you that is knowledgeable, that has good experience and is able to give you the personalized advice that you need to become a better runner. What would be the third most important thing you would want to give somebody who is currently a runner or wanting to become a runner?
Yeah. Well, one thing, the first thing I would say is start slow. Just start slow and give it time. Do not compare. Take your own journey and drive your journey, right? That's number one. Number two, do it with a structure, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
You gotta do it with a smart plan and do it slowly. The plan will take you slowly into it. So just find a training plan that's free online and that has your goal in mind and just go for it. And third thing is really commit. I think unlike other team sports where you have other team members pushing you to get out, let's say if you're playing cricket, you have 10 other guys telling you to wake up and get out. In running, it's you. And there are going to be days that you don't want to run, but you have to have that goal in sight. I would say 60% of my days, I don't want to run, you know, but well, I still figure out. And then once I'm back, I'm so happy. I got out of bed and just did it. So again, you have to commit. You have to be dedicated. And because running or endurance sports, you have to be out 4 times a week, 3 to 4 times a week minimum. I mean, someone like me who's as an athlete training full time, I'm out 6 times a week, right? But what I'm saying is you have to commit, keep that goal inside and just not give up. And once you go through an endurance sport running event, you will learn how not to give up because you will be hurting. If you're doing a marathon, from an elite runner to an amateur runner, we go through such lows where you're questioning, why am I doing this? Why am I putting my body through this? Yeah. Right? You're always questioning. And the same questioning process will come during your training, right? And the idea is you got to keep that finish line in sight, right? And just kind of keep at it. And eventually it becomes a routine. Rather, I would say running becomes an addiction for a lot of people, because a lot of I also face or interact with runners who cannot stop running. So let's say if I'm trying to cut back on their training, they will still try to go out 6 times a week. And I'm like, no, right now you just need to do 4 times. Yeah. So there's the other extreme also, where people are just addicted to activity.
And they push
right?
themselves too much.
Yeah, and overtraining happens yeah. and all of that. So there's a, but you got to just commit and just keep going. So start slow, right? Follow a plan. And commit and don't give up till you get to that finish line, no matter what happens.
So what do you think are the top myths or misconceptions about running?
Yeah, running is bad for your knees. Like, that's the biggest myth that I think is out there. And like, generally, science has like gone against it. And so basically, that's one of the biggest myths. Running will not spoil your knees. It's good for your bones, actually. In the long run, runners have a lower chance of bone disease or bone issues at older age. Rather, if you're actively running, even at older age, and by the way, you can start running even if you're 70. You know, like my dad, for example, I'm trying to convince him to start running now. He's 70 plus. So you can start running anytime. And the only thing is, running is bad for your knees if you try to do too much too soon. Give it time and your bones and your body, your muscles will adapt. So that's the biggest myth. Running is good for you, period. Right? There is no
downside
negative
to, doing
to
it.
It, right? I'm not a proponent of the running industry. I'm just saying, just as a person who's been doing it and doing any scientific research, if you do, running is good for you. Period. It cuts down heart disease risk. It improves your bone density. I mean, from any angle, it's good for you, right? Second myth about this carb loading that a lot of people do, pasta parties the night before a marathon, it does not work. The person who came up with carb loading has now debunked it himself, right? So this, it is important to increase your nutritional intake before an event.
Yeah.
But it has not... Like this carb loading, and especially binge eating the day before and all, does not.
Work.
Your body only has certain carb reserves. Either you work over months and months to improve that carb reserve for your body. That's what elites do. But eating 2 days before the event is not going to help. Okay, you don't want to be come to a starting line empty stomach and yeah. starving. So you should have your full carbs like in the reserve.
Yeah.
But binge eating is actually bad for you. Rather, if you're like a serious runner who's trying to give up weight, lose weight to get faster, you've just added 1 to 2 kgs of binge eating food that will just slow you down and make your stomach feel. So carb loading is not another one of those big myths that I don't agree with. And I think generally the industry is also disagreeing with now.
A little bit about, you know, your current position in the industry. You know, tell us a little bit about All In Running. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your other initiatives, community talks, where people can find you, and how they can get involved with all of this.
Yeah, thanks so much for allowing me to share on that. So I'm relatively new into the sports industry. My education is not about sports. So all that I help out people with is through my experiential learning over about a decade of running. What I'm trying to do, my goal is to give people a platform where people can connect to the outdoors. Because I feel with all the stuff that's happening around the world, people really need to connect with nature. And I think through that process, people can become better human beings, take care of their environment and the things around them. So the idea is through running, I want to allow people to connect with the outdoors. That's where All In Running is going, and that's where it started. Now, in that journey, it's a long journey that we're taking. So first, people need to start running. So that's where the coaching platform comes in, is that people can sign up and join the program, or I just encourage everyone to just find anyone else or any other website that can help. You know, there are enough free plans. But that's what I do, is I try to, through my coaching services, give them that first step of start moving and start running. Then step number two, what we're doing is we're planning a series of events, which we did a few last year, and this year we're planning even more, is a series of what we call community talks, which are a series of monthly events where people come. And so there are these individuals who've done these incredible things in their lives, right? From climbing Mount Everest to doing 7-day running events to like crazy stories, and mostly Indians who are living in our neighborhood. We just don't know of their amazing achievements. So the idea is to highlight these stories, bring them out. So we normally just meet up at a bar restaurant and have these amazing speakers share their experiences. And hopefully the group and the audience who attend these events get inspired to do beyond the city marathon and beyond the city events, you know, trying to really think of adventure and the outdoors, running being the gateway for that to me. So again, start running, get inspired, and find a goal that really challenges you. And that's where the third vertical that we're starting in All In Running is the travel vertical, where we are trying to promote trail running in nature, and truly experiencing and interacting with nature while you are enjoying an activity like running. So we're going to set up camps. And this is coming in end of April that we are launching this, where people will come out of the city and wake up in the morning and run in a forest area or a mountain area, come back, have a nice evening, and go in the morning again and kind of connect and experience running in a very different thing. And the side motivation to do this also is to promote trail running in India, which is, while in its nascent stage, I would say in a bigger way, non-existent. There are people who are now taking to trail running, but as a scene, it's just kicking off. Whereas internationally, also trail running is much younger than the road running scene, but it's still been there in Europe for about 30, 35 years now. But we are just kicking off. So I really want to promote that whole thing of getting out in nature, connecting with nature, becoming more conscious human beings of our impact, and also enjoying running, what we like to do.
Great, great. Well, we wish you the best with all of those ventures. If anybody of our listeners are interested in, you know, being a part of your coaching program or attending some of your community talks to get inspired and meet some of the other great people that are involved in this space, or fans of the outdoors that want to, you know, go out for these trail runs, how do they get in touch with you?
So yeah, people can connect over social media, over Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or just write an email to us at info.allinrunning@gmail.com and just get in touch, and we'll be more than happy to help you. It's really inspiring to connect with people who want to make a difference in their lives and try something new, and would be lovely to share that journey together.
Awesome. So all of that information will be in the show notes, guys, for anybody who's interested in getting in touch with All In Running, community talks, and the trail runs bit. Any parting thoughts that you might have about for our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we've been talking, it's great, but really, this talk is only useful if people get out and start running or pick up an activity and outside the gym. Again, I'm coming to a more cardiovascular endurance focus, and running is the easiest. So I'll talk about running. So yeah, just give it a shot. Give 6 months of your life and try it out. Get out and start moving, experience it, and see if it's for you. Really try something else, and also try getting outdoors, connecting with nature, and just getting that connection going also.
Awesome. So for our listeners, if you have any questions or you know, need any help from Nakul, you can get in touch with him through the Twitter account in our show notes or the email address in our show notes. Nakul, I just want to say thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me and, you know, give all this great information to our listeners. We hope to connect again and, you know, be a part of this movement with you.
No, and thank you so much for letting me come up and share all my bits and also just talk about all this, and I wish Pursuit of Wellness the best for the future.
Thank you so much. Thanks again for coming on, man.
Thanks.
All right, guys, that was our episode of The Pursuit of Wellness. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or wherever you guys get your podcasts. We love to hear what you think, so feel free to give us a review or jump onto our Facebook group and share your thoughts. This has been a Mancha Media production. Hope you guys tune in next time as well.